This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. Seeing as it's Christmas, I'm full of merriment, and I thought I'd give you a bonus edition of Soap from the Box, the TV podcast that goes behind the scenes of your biggest TV shows. EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks, Home and Away, and Neighbours. This guy, my guest today, made such an impression in EastEnders when he played Grey. It is Toby Alexander Smith. Hope you're having a great build-up to Christmas. Put this on as you go Christmas present shopping or just as you sit by the Christmas tree and sip a Baileys. Enjoy. It was soon revealed after he joined as husband of Chantelle that his character Grey was a domestic abuser. To the unaware eye, he appeared a loving husband and committed father, but his charm was a front for the power and control he exerted. He went on not just to kill Chantelle, but anyone who was a threat to his real self coming out. Tina and Kush went to the Albert Square graveyard, with Chelsea and Whitney coming pretty close. I directed where he worked, of course, but missed him. And in real life, he's a very nice guy who has recently become a dad with partner Amy Walsh, who I work side by side with on Emmerdale. It's a pleasure to welcome Toby Alexander Smith. Hello, Toby.
Hello there. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Now, we're going to get to this amazing campaign in a minute. But first of all, how is being a dad? How's Amy? How's being a dad?
It's great. Thanks very much. It's got its highs and its lows, and its the tough times are tough, and the magic times are wonderful. So,
yeah. Are you sleeping is the main question.
We are kind of sleeping.
Yes. Right. Well, you're here to talk about a very important campaign. It's the third year anniversary of this. It's YSL Beauty's global program, Abuse Is Not Love, raising awareness of the signs of abuse, which we'll talk a lot about. I mean, when you, we'll get to that campaign, when you got your job in EastEnders, I'm sure they probably spell out what the plan was for your character.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I knew I was going in to do a domestic abuse storyline. I had no idea in terms of the narrative and the arc that it was going to be. And the sort of exploration of Grey's character in the terms of, you know, we all are as a society very much conditioned to having this one-dimensional view of what an abusive person is and what their behaviour is. And with Grey Atkins, they really explored that spectrum of behaviours in an abusive person, which I think ties in so well with this campaign with YSL.
Yeah, it's not how people might perceive it, is it? You know, it can come in varying shapes and sizes, these people. And like you said, from the outside, you wouldn't have known really about Grey's inner, what went on. I mean, and that is obviously that's something out there that people need to be more aware of, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I think, like I said earlier, we've been conditioned into thinking there's just one type of abusive behavior. But particularly for the younger generation coming through, there are so many signs, nine signs within this campaign that are, I guess, things that need to be highlighted. And those red flags need to be understood by particularly, like I say, the younger generation, because otherwise it's going to be continue to sort of be intergenerational, that these sort of this behavior just goes missed.
Totally. And we're gonna give everyone those nine signs actually in a bit. Just come back to EastEnders though first. I mean, was it a hard decision to take? Obviously a brilliant way to get this kind of to get this out to the world, but then as an actor, I'm sure you probably got a lot of abuse, probably quite a hard choice to make, knowing that you would have to take the flak as an actor for that as well.
It was, but equally at the same time, I had no sort of expectation of what it was going to be or the kind of impact it was going to have. I mean, I sort of auditioned for this part, knowing that we're going to do this domestic abuse storyline, not having a clue the sort of effect it was going to have. So when people started sort of speaking out and shouting out online on social media and things like that, it was quite shocking to start with. But obviously, that was just because they felt so betrayed that they'd been sort of lured into this full sense of security with this wonderful, happy, happy, lovely family that they're thinking, oh, wow, this new wonderful family that we could love on Albert Square. And lo and behold, obviously, they didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. So, like I say, when that reveal happened, the noise was very, very loud on social media. People had a lot to say, but it was actually quite incredible to see how quickly people were jumping on to sort of calling out that behavior and how acceptable it was and how disgusted they were at Grey. And there was a little bit of confusion at the start, people struggling to differentiate between actor and Toby, but I think they got there in the end.
And it shows what a brilliant job you guys were doing by the fact that people reacted in such a way. And you worked obviously closely in this campaigns with Women's Aid as well. You worked closely with Women's Aid when you made these tender storyline, man. How important was, I mean, I know from working on soap how important they take it to get the story right, and so it appeals to everyone out there. How close did you work with Women's Aid when you did these tenders?
It was pretty much for me from the get-go. As soon as I knew that it was going to be a domestic abuse storyline, I did reach out to Teresa Parker at Women's Aid. And, you know, I was just very aware that it was going to be such a sensitive storyline. And there's a due diligence to get something like that right. And I felt that myself, you know, I had an awareness of domestic abuse, but I knew that I needed to further educate myself if I was going to do the storyline justice. And, you know, I was reading these scenes and so many of them seemed so far-fetched, and I couldn't quite fathom this behavior. And obviously, from an acting point of view, you want to make this character as human as possible. And so the research that I did and the chats that I was having with Teresa just confirmed to me that actually that type of behavior is happening day in, day out in houses, within relationships. And so that really helped me just to keep the character real and as human as possible.
And since you've done it, I mean, is there anything, I mean, probably a lot has shocked you, and, you know, it does shock us. Is there anything that really surprised you about what might happen at home or people that might do that? I mean, is there something you didn't think was possible?
Well, I mean, it was awful. I remember there was a scene where Grey makes his wife go under the bath and stay under the water for a set amount of time. And I, at the time, again, thought that was quite far-fetched. And lo and behold, actually, there was a case study where that had happened to someone quite recently. And I just thought, there's just no end. It's just shocking.
To the normal mind, you can't actually commute it, can you? The climax of the Chantel story, I mean, I watched it, it was absolutely incredibly done. It was over lockdown, though, which again, obviously, such a powerful episode and such a, you know, such a horrendous time for people suffering, I think, wasn't lockdown.
It really, really was. And I think that's one of the reasons why it had such a big impact, was because obviously over those months where people were locked down, the stats just went absolutely through the roof. And it sort of opened a whole new sort of toolkit for abusive men out there, you know, with the whole not being able to leave the house and things like that, and just tactics that were just sickening. And it was very, very prevalent at the time. And so I think that's why it had such a big impact with the viewers, because there was just so much news and awareness around it at the time. I really do think lockdown just made it
10 times worse. And at least, though, like we said, these big stories, what the great thing about soap is, which I always said when I worked on it, is, you know, people watch these programs day in, day out, so it feels like part of their life. So I think there's no other more powerful way to get it across than a soap, actually. I think it's what soap does best.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're in people's living rooms 4, 5, 6 times a week. And there's a relatability to it. It's not like necessarily going to the cinema where it's escapism. People really connect to it because you're within their homes. And so that's why I think these storylines and soaps really just hit home so much harder
than films. And you must have been exhausted, though, mate, because obviously playing a star, I know, you know, when you're in a big storyline anyway, for anyone who doesn't know, you can be on set for 12 hours a day, and playing something so heavy, I mean, it must have been exhausting for you.
It was, to be honest. I mean, I had to really sort of learn to find pockets of air to just sort of come out of it. There was no way you could stay in character the whole time. It was just impossible. And like you say, when you're doing 12-hour days, that it just wasn't sustainable. And obviously, by the point we were doing that part of the storyline, the sort of culmination of it, I'd been playing Grey for quite a long time at that point. So I had to learn how to sort of tap into it quite quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
And also just for your own mental health,
sanity,
as well, going
yeah.
home and sanity. And, you know, there was definitely a heaviness that came with playing that I had to just be very aware of, that I sort of really did manage to shake it off when I left.
So do people still give you a second glance now? Do you know what I mean? You were already in EastEnders for 2 years, but I mean, it was such a prolific character. Are you still feeling that connection to EastEnders quite heavily?
I think I still get recognised a lot more than I thought I would. I mean, it was March that I left, and, you know, even yesterday I was out and about and someone came up to me and said, you know, are you Grey from EastEnders? And I think the funny thing is people seem quite shocked when they see me, as if I should be in prison. Like, they're quite surprised to see me walking around a garden centre. They're thinking, why aren't you locked up?
Yeah, they suddenly get really worried. They're like, oh my God, he's out.
I think that's a sign that it's sort of that storyline did resonate with so many people. And I think a lot of people did see that. And like you say, for the time that I was in there, it just happened to have a lot of traction. And so because of that, I think people do still sort of see me out and about and just obviously sort of have that recognition of Grey and the storyline.
Yeah, I think you'll have it for you. Nina Wadia said to me on my podcast, like, it's about 12 years now, and she still gets people going, oh, do you know what's happening with your daughter? She's like, no, I've got no idea. But anyway, let's get to the campaign you're here to talk about. So YSL, in connection with Women's Aid, are highlighting the warning signs to look out for. And there are 9 warning signs to look out for. Now, should we just highlight to everyone what these are? Do you know what they are?
Absolutely, I do, yes. So the 9 signs to look out for are ignoring, blackmailing, humiliation, manipulation, jealousy, control, intrusion, isolation, and intimidation.
Yes, they are the 9. And lots of those, which I suppose, I mean, some of those are really, you know, but well, the biggest one, jealousy. So, I mean, the facts that in the research that's been done, 57% of people said they do experience jealousy. The quite shocking thing is 22% think that's a sign of love. And jealousy is that strange one. I suppose I've been there when I've been in partnerships with jealousy, and you actually do feel like you do. I get that. I get the fact that you think, oh, they care for me so much. So it's that worrying line, I suppose, of where it crosses.
Totally. Absolutely. I think, you know, I've actually had this conversation with someone from Women's Aid, because I said, obviously, jealousy in itself is a human emotion. You know, children, we get jealous of things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's how that jealousy manifests itself within somebody and what it then leads on to after that, and how it sort of changes their behavior, I think.
The shocking thing I found reading the research was it's women aged 16 to 34 that are most at risk. I never would have thought it was so young, actually.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, that sort of generation are being exposed to so much things on social media and television.
Yeah, true.
And,
yeah.
You know, without naming any shows in particular, you know, I'll watch a thing on TV and I'll call out behavior and say that isn't acceptable. But however, it's being celebrated. That person is getting millions of followers.
Yeah.
And it's just going completely under the radar. And that is depicting for that sort of generation in particular, where they're most sort of informed when they're watching things, that that's what love should be. And that's what a healthy relationship looks like, when in fact, it's the complete opposite.
Complete opposite. That's a really important point. And I think, I mean, again, we don't want to name the shows. I'm sure we can think of what they are in our heads, but shows that are celebrating the kind of behavior that I was brought up thinking was wrong, and it is wrong, but now these people are becoming hugely famous for portraying that behavior. Something needs to change, doesn't it?
No, it really, really does. I mean, like I say, I'm a father, and in sort of 15, let's say, years time, my daughter could be having relationships, and I want to know that she's going to be having healthy relationships, you know, because like I say, this is a constant loop. It's intergenerational, and something's got to give now to stop it for those future generations. And that's why I feel very passionate about you know, fighting for this,
getting the message across. Yeah, and it is really important, and it's brilliant you're doing it. What person to do it? And that YSL Beauty and Women's Aid are releasing Expect Respect Toolkit, which is out now. I'm guessing this is going around schools and everywhere, just to kind of get this message, get the 9 signs out there for people.
Absolutely. I think they're, you know, they just want to sort of have the biggest reach that they can possibly have. And I think education in schools is a massive one. And I've said this before, that that's somewhere that is just so accessible, to sort of introducing that into schools around the country and just start teaching what healthy relationships look like. And hopefully, you know, this campaign will do exactly that.
Yeah, and I think you need to get in there young now, you know, like everything. I mean, we heard nothing about anything like this at school. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we even have sex education at school, but that's how old I am. But yeah, really important now to get it out there. So brilliant. Now, just back to Gray. I mean, what did you learn from being in a soap, playing a role that prolific? I mean, what's next for you? Have you kind of decided to go somewhere totally different?
I mean, I don't think I'll be playing any villainous characters anytime soon. I think something sort of a bit lighter, something comedic would be quite nice, to be honest. It was very, very heavy. And it was, you know, the best and hardest role, you know, that I've done. And it's quite hard to know what to do next, really, because you kind of, it's almost like, how do you beat playing characters like that?
You've set the bar high.
Just such a scope of things to play. But we'll see what happens.
And just, I have to pick up on the close bond he had with Whitney, actually, because that was a really interesting relationship, wasn't it? The most interesting, I think. The fact that she's a big pivotal camera, she kind of sussed him out, but it was still a kind of, there was an interesting relationship there. And that's, I suppose, it shows how complicated these people are in real life as well.
Totally. I mean, with Gray and Whitney, there was very much a point where there was, you know, strong feelings involved, and that muddied the water for Whitney, because, you know, all these things that she was hearing, all these speculations she might have had, Gray was a master manipulator, and he knew how to, you know, sort of shut down those speculations. He knew how to put on this facade, this Prince Charming, this, you know, I am a provider, I'm a good father, you know, I can give you a happy life. And that's what he did, you know, that's what he knew how to do best. You know, so I think she fell into that, but then Whitney is so savvy that she quite quickly then managed to sort of dust it off and actually saw Gray for who he really was obviously one of the main culprits for bringing Gray down.
And bringing Gray down. Justice. And what an end it was. That was brilliant. Anyway, you were born in Staffordshire in 1991. Just a bit of This Is Your Life. Did you always want to act? Has this been your like dream job forever?
It's not, you know, I came to it quite late in the day. I was actually always quite shy, quite reserved. I was probably about 15, 16, and it was actually singing that I did first in front of an audience. And then that sort of got the juices flowing. That was the kind of catalyst that made me go.
If you were shy, singing, I think, is more nerve wracking than acting.
It went
right in the deep end.
Well, I play piano. And so I was playing in the school band, and like there was a school trip that was happening. So my music teacher said, look, we need someone to sing. Love Is in the Air. Toby, you're going to do it. And I was like, well, I don't sing. And she was like, yeah, well, that's fine. And that was it. End of conversation. And so I ended up singing with the school band in front of an audience. People just started saying, wow, you've got a good voice. And then I had mates who were doing the school show. So that year I auditioned for the school show. And yeah, I mean, the rest was literally history. I found that thing I feel very grateful for. That I was like, this is the thing that I want to do for the rest of my life. Nothing could ever compare to that feeling before for me. So
amazing. And thank God you're really good at acting as well. So that worked out. Obviously, you are good at singing if you're getting told that. Now, we're going to end with a little quiz. Now, I know you won't know the answers, really. It's a bit of fun. An EastEnders quiz throwing us back in time. So first
blimey.
Question is, I know, how many wives has Ian Bill had? Just make a guess.
Oh, God. 30?
No, 30 wives?
No, I'm going to know. He's had a lot, though, hasn't he? I'd say 5.
Oh, near 4.
Four.
Yeah. Four. What was EastEnders almost called? This is quite cool. I didn't know this. This is a bit of knowledge. Do you know any of the four names it was going to be called?
I was going to take an educated guess. I was going to say like Albert Square.
Oh, that would have been good. It was going to be called E8, which was the postcode, which I suppose. This one's awful. Square Dance. Oh, it wouldn't have worked.
Square Dance.
Round the Square was another. And London Pride. Don't think any of those were great.
Interesting.
What did Doc Cotton wear at Christmas on the show for 28 years? A, the same dress. B, the same knickers. Or C, the same necklace?
I would say the same necklace.
Yeah, it was the same dress, actually. But kind of... And June Brown, I mean, I work with June a lot. She was amazing for this, knowing exactly what Doc Cotton would do. And June Brown episode, by the way, everyone, is on the 12th of December, celebrating June on the show. And finally, the most married woman to have lived in Albert Square, also married 4 times.
I would say Cat Slater.
No, Pat Butcher. You did terribly, Toby, but it's fine.
That is really embarrassing, isn't it? It's a good job I've left the show. I'm bringing shame upon EastEnders.
No one in EastEnders would know that. No one in EastEnders would know that. So the Expect Respect Toolkit, so with YSL Beauty and Women's Aid, I mean, what's your one message to people out there?
I think it's the openness to educate themselves and have conversations. And just be just aware of those signs in particular, and just sort of just keep an eye out within friends and relationships. And like I say, just, you know, be willing to have those conversations.
Yeah, because the research showed actually there's, I think it was 20-something% of people just wouldn't feel comfortable talking with anyone. And the fact is, that's the key, isn't it? You just need to talk to someone. There's people, yes, out there, Women's Aid, if it's not someone you need, if you want to, you know, relay this to someone you know, there's people out there that you can speak to. And you've spoken to Women's Aid, you know how amazing they are.
They are. No, absolutely. They are absolutely fantastic. And they are just there, you know, 24/7. And they are just so happy to speak to anyone who wants to reach out to them.
So, well, it's been brilliant to have you on the show, mate. Thank you for coming on.
That's a pleasure. And thank you very much for having me.
Look out for what you're up to, whatever that is. And I mean, what we said at the beginning of this little section works out, because I tried to end on an EastEnders cast member who's had a good song out, and there's actually none. I mean, Sid Owen. Oh, it's pretty. So I would have had you doing a live rendition if you told me you can sing, but we won't. I know.
See? Maybe next time.
Maybe we'll do a Christmas concert or something. But Toby Alexander Smith, thank you, mate. Thanks for coming on. Thank you so much to Toby Alexander Smith for being my special guest on this bonus edition of Soap from the Box. I am back next week with two Christmas specials, Martin McCutcheon and Dame Arlene Phillips in a TV special. All for you, all for Christmas. See you next week.